So, when you're faced with an overwhelming challenge in your life, do you tend to see the glass half empty? Or are you an optimist and always see the glass half full? I'm Chuck Swindoll. And just after today's message, I have something terribly important to share with you. So please stick around so we can chat, okay?
Any parent of young children understands the delicate balance between rebuke and praise. There are times when our kids need overt correction, and other moments that deserve lavish approval. But what about those unflattering dust-ups when a child pushes our patience with anger or a tantrum, and we feel our emotions spinning out of control? Proverbs 15, verse 13 says, "A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but when the heart is sad, the spirit is broken." In order to help us reach that delicate balance, today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll concludes a helpful message titled, "Shaping the Will with Wisdom."
Grandparents, and I am one, and I love the role. I do not lay a hand of discipline on my grandchildren. That's not my place. I do affirm their parents. I uphold their parents. One of my goals, one of Cynthia's and my goals, is to let our grandchildren know what great parents they have. Mine is a role of affirming and undergirding the parental boundaries that are set by their parents. How wrong it is for a grandparent to undermine the authority of parents by giving a grandchild whatever he wants, whenever. Now, there are times when you can give in a little. Grandparents' privileges. But you never deliberately know what the parent said is wrong and then say, well, literally, that's okay. If my son or my daughter says to one of their children, you know, you don't bring someone home to shack up with them. I'm a poor grandparent if I say, you can do that in one of our bedrooms. Got it? That's what I mean. The role of the grandparent is one of affirmation, affection, hopefully wisdom, maybe even counsel at times when it's requested by the children, the children, and they need help with one of their children. But my job is not to lay a hand on their child. This is the father-son, father-daughter, mother-son, mother-daughter relationship. Okay, let's get down to brass tacks and give you four contrasts and we're through. First of all, practical, workable suggestions. To begin with, start early. Start early. Go to Proverbs 13:24. 13:24. Yeah. He who withholds his rod hates his son. Don't read into rod brutality. Don't get hung up on that. It's a reference to discipline. Appropriate discipline. Sometime it requires a spanking. Always in private, never for the purpose of public humiliation or embarrassment. This is the kind of discipline that is done well, correctly, and on occasion, very firmly. He who withholds corporal discipline hates his son. Look at that statement. The son gets the message. He doesn't really even care. He hates his son. But he who loves him disciplines him. Look at the word diligently, diligently. Shachar is an interesting Hebrew verb. It means early, to be early. In noun form, it means dawn, dawn, the first part of the day. So we could paraphrase this, that we are to discipline early on. He who loves him seeks him early in life with discipline. Might be a reliable rendering. Now, why start early? Because, hear this, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. I don't care how precious they are. I don't care how beautiful a child they may be. I don't care how loving and cuddly they are at different times. Embedded in their nature is sinfulness, just like in yours. It takes the discipline of parents to address how the child can learn to deal with her or his own sinfulness. For defiance is sin. So he says, start early. By the way, foolishness that I mentioned earlier is not just a little mischievousness. It's not just lighthearted fun. The fool, according to Solomon, says in his heart, there is no God. It's a picture of defiance. Proverbs 19:18, one more and then we'll move on. 19:18. Discipline your son or daughter while there is hope. Do not desire his death. While there is hope, suggests early on. By the way, that ties in with the first three rules of how to raise a delinquent child. You could go back there. Developing habits of self-control must start early in life. You can learn it later, but it's much more painful, and usually after you've broken up a home or two, or perhaps after you've gone through a very severe and embarrassing set of circumstances that you deeply regret. Now, go to the second. Stay balanced. Stay balanced. I'm a big one for balance. I think we need to stay away from extremes. Stay balanced. What do we mean by that? Well, look at 29:15. You'll have words that'll help us know what that means. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Don't hurry over that. There's a time for corporal punishment, and there is a time for verbalizing. In other words, no child should ever be surprised that he's being disciplined. Each child, because of reproof, has been explained to him what the rules are, where the boundaries are. And you keep them within reason, understanding the age and stage of a child. And when the child breaks through the boundary, that child expects something to happen. There must be both reproof, that's the verbalizing, as well as the corporate, a punishment that goes with it. I remember talking with a policeman a number of months ago, and I said, what's going on? He was dealing with a series of things that were happening in the school. He said, well, the line is now blurred. That's the way he put it. They don't know where wrong starts and right stops. It's blurred. And in this post-era in which we live, we have the blurring of the lines, postmodern era. The child who gets his own way, the end of the verse says, will bring shame to the mother. The goal, of course, is to turn boys into men and to shape the will of daughters so they become ladies. Several weeks ago, a good friend of mine sent me this. You will love it. Here's to all real men out there. Boys play house. Men get married. Boys make babies. Men rear children. Boys won't raise their own children. Men will raise someone else's. Boys seek to simply survive their woman's disrespect. Men seek to understand her with their heart. Boys are content with female companionship. Men welcome intimacy. Boys seek popularity. Men win respect. Boys cast blame. Men own responsibility. Boys invent excuses for their failure. Men produce strategies for success. Boys look for someone else to take care of them. Men look for someone to take care of. Boys are narcissistic and self-indulgent. Men are selfless and sacrificial. Boys play at work and work at play. Men are diligent at work and they play when they rest. You're growing up young women and young men who one day will say, I do, and will hear, I do, as they link their lives with another individual for the rest of their days. Think of what you are providing that spouse as you prepare your son or daughter for adulthood. They leave their stuff laying around, they're going to leave it laying around when they marry. They excuse wrongdoing when they're single, they'll excuse wrongdoing when they're married. What you don't deal with, their mate will have to. What you don't address, the policeman on the corner will. What you overlook and ignore, the teacher will have to reckon with. If they are not helped toward maturity, stay balanced. It isn't just a matter of corporal punishment. It's also verbal explanation. It's also affirmation. No discipline should ever be administered without the time taken to affirm the child with enormous expressions of love and affection. Third, be consistent. This is probably the toughest of the group. Be consistent. Here's what I mean. This one you'll understand immediately is a tough assignment. What was wrong yesterday is wrong today. What is wrong in private is wrong in public. What you are saying you really believe must be held true here as well as there. When you speak of respecting authority, remember the authorities that would not be you in their lives. We all live with those to whom we answer, whether it's a boss, or on occasion a policeman, or on occasion a teacher or professor, or on occasion a spouse. Be consistent. Emphasize love and encouragement, not just rules and punishment. Otherwise, you exasperate your child. Ephesians 6:4 says, don't go there. It's easy to exasperate and frustrate a child by overly engaging in discipline. How unwise. Don't walk around the house with a paddle hanging from your belt. That doesn't engender respect. It builds fear, resentment, and anger. Be consistent with your reproof of words mixed with your physical discipline. Continue to uphold the dignity of your child. Do so in public and private. Let the child have the assurance how much you delight in her or him. How valuable that is, and you will realize it more as time passes. Here's the fourth, remain reasonable. Remain reasonable. Remember, you're training a child. It's just a child. So leave room for that. Remember, there are childish things that occur that don't call for discipline. They may call for a word of correction, but they don't call for a full-out discipline. The child is not perfect. Guess who they got that from? You're not either. Sometimes it helps to have a great sense of humor. I love to be in a home where there is a lot of humor. Fun humor, not sarcastic, but real humor, and especially when it comes from the father. How rarely I see that. Men are usually the, I'm from Texas. We stand strong in Texas. Oh, really? You look like a jerk. You are a father, and your child is not impressed because you frown a lot. Your child will find it a great delight to be with a father who's still having fun in life. Be reasonable. And by the way, it may not hurt to share with your children your own failures from the past. By the way, they love to hear about them. Things you learned, things that were, you know, embarrassing. My kids could tell you the stories of my life. I ran with the wrong couple of guys. My mother used to say, every time you hang around Freddie and Eugene, you get in trouble. So I hung around with Freddie and Eugene. So I got into trouble. One Halloween, we went down to 7-Eleven, bought half a dozen eggs. I don't know why. We all got on Freddie's Cushman, and we rode it over to a field, and we threw those eggs on the house of the English teacher we all hated. Whoa! Whoa, 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 boom, boom, boom. Direct hits. What I didn't plan on is her husband coming out the door with a shotgun. Boom, boom. I mean, I set a new record for a teenager running and hurdling a fence. So I walk in. My mother says, what's wrong? And I go, nothing. Where you been? Praying. You've been with Eugene and Freddie. Mothers are omniscient. How do they know? Next day, she may me and Freddie and Eugene climb up on that house and wash off those eggs. The good news was that the English teacher wasn't home. So I said, guys, work fast. Unfortunately, just as we finished, they drove up. And they had a few words for us that would not be appropriate for a pulpit today. And my mother and dad's response was, good. You know what? That's the last time I've ever thrown an egg on a house. It's amazing. Not the last time I've been shot at, but that's the last time I've had an egg thrown on a house. The other is none of your business when that happened. We got two all-important goals. Okay, here we go. Two all-important goals for parents. Get this. Our goal is to release a very responsible young adult who loves Christ into the world. That's simple. To release into the world a very responsible young adult who loves Christ. You've done that. You hit a grand slam, pal. Good for you. You're doing that? Good for you. You can't do it without discipline, without shaping the will. You can't do it without love. You can't do it without those things. Now for the children, the goal for the child is to become a mature, Christ-honoring individual. To become a mature, Christ-honoring individual. And the result of that is a magnificent husband for somebody to marry, or wife, or boss for someone to have, or neighbor for someone to enjoy. Sometimes other influences help with the shaping of a will. Little personal story here, and I'll not get into great detail, but one of our grandsons was struggling at school, and his folks were frustrated and shared that with us, and we were concerned. And long story short, through a wonderful series of events, I won't even try to explain, the Lord changed the young man to be open to the idea of going to a military school. That's not where they beat kids. That's a reformatory. There's no bars where they go. This is a place where they learn corporate discipline with other boys. So the boy goes off to school, and he is failing in subjects here. Before we know it, he's at the top of his class. He's making rank. He's growing up. And when he comes home, wow. So he dropped by last night, walked in our home. Hi, Bubba. Hi, Nana. Hey, come in. You want to visit? Yes, sir. Sir. So his grandmother said, you like a glass of water? Yes, ma'am. Ma'am. Ma'am and sir? He sirred me to death. Thought he was going to salute me when he left. What a change. I tell you the story, not because you need to send your son to a military school. That's not like that. I heard one kid say, no. That's not it for everybody. It just happened to be for him. He's going back next fall and will be a senior, probably be one of the battalion commanders. You know why? Because he's gotten control of himself. He's gone right exactly where his parents wanted him to be in the most wonderful way. And as I said to him, what's the difference? You're not surprised to hear, oh, it's the discipline. Isn't that great? And I looked at him as he left. He's now just about as tall, maybe taller than I am. Tried to put my arms around him. He's been pumping iron. So he looks like a young Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he said to me, I love you, Bubba. Threw his arms around his grandmother. I love you, Nana. Thank you for all that you do for me. It's worth it. Even if you have to start later, it's worth it. Don't give up. It's like letting a kite into the air, a little further, till it gets smaller and smaller and smaller. And finally, you just let it fly. That may be when they go into the military. That may be when they go into business. That may go off to college or stand at the altar and get married or go overseas to serve Christ in some way. You let them go. Don't cling. You've done all you can do. Let them go. Pause for a moment and bow your head with me, please. You may right now be living under the disciplining rod of God. So this message has a whole different approach in your life. May God sustain you and hold you close to Himself as you struggle to gain your equilibrium. You're having to learn some things the hard way because you didn't learn them early in life. We'll talk about that later on in this series. You may just realize that you have been working with a boy and you're about to release a boy. Or you've been dealing with a little girl, and even though she's in her teenage years, she's still a little girl, determined to have her way. It's time to get control of that, folks. Don't do that to this society. Don't make those who will be responsible later on to have to deal with her or him doing the things you should have been doing. It's never too late to start doing what is right. It may be coming to Christ yourself, realizing that you don't even know the Lord I've been talking about and how greatly you need Him. So I invite you to turn your heart over to Him. Give Him your life, your burdens, your needs. It's amazing how He can turn things into a right direction that have been in the wrong direction. So help us all, our Father, help us all in the journey from this earth to heaven to grow up. Help us to grow up. Help us to become real women, real ladies, real men, real responsible citizens in a world that is awash and has long since lost its way. Use our homes as part of the catalyst that will make that happen. Thank you, Father, for your help in dealing with issues that are delicate, sensitive, and easily misunderstood. May truth come from this in a number of different ways as you find in us homes that honor Christ. First, because of the love we have for one another, the harmony that's being cultivated, because we have, on those occasions, administered appropriate discipline. Thank you for your love for us, and the proof of it is that you reprove us. We accept those reproofs gratefully. In Jesus' name, everyone said, Amen.
You've just heard the conclusion to Chuck Swindoll's message, Shaping the Will with Wisdom. And this is Insight for Living. Visit our website at insightworld.org. Chuck's presentation today was among six of the most highly requested sermons in the last year, and we packaged those messages together for you. The set is called Wisdom for Home and Work, Listener Favorites, Volume 2. I'll explain how you can get a copy in just a moment, but first, this important closing comment from Chuck.
All of you probably know me well enough to understand I tend to be a glass-half-full kind of guy. It's just my natural inclination to see the positive and always expect the best, even when those around me, while looking at the very same challenge, often view the very same glass as half-empty. I guess I'm just wired that way. My optimism isn't based on confidence in myself, believe me. It's a confidence in the one who's proven himself faithful over and over again. After decades of walking with my God, I began to get the message that he is entirely trustworthy. Yep, God will provide. Well, my friend, we've come to one of those moments in the history of Insight for Living that would certainly be overwhelming to the faint of heart. The obstacles before us are looming. As we close our financial books on June the 30th, every single donation makes a difference. Now, when God provides, He always does so one person at a time, and through women and men just like you. That's why I'm appealing to you for the help we need today. I need you to let us know that you want Insight for Living to continue on your station or over the internet. So, please, take this personally. Make your donation today. It's critically important. Yes, the proverbial glass is half full right now. But hey, together, Let's fill it all the way to the brim. Thanks so much.
Yes, June 30th is right around the corner. And when you give a donation to Insight for Living today, we'll say thank you by providing the set of 6 audio CDs or MP3 files mentioned a moment ago. It's called Wisdom for Home and Work, Listener Favorites, Volume 2. Among the most highly requested sermons, it includes suggestions for parenting grown-up kids, what to do when you've blown it, and today's complete message as well, Shaping the Will with Wisdom. To make your donation and request today, simply go to insight.org. Or if you're listening in the United States, call this number, 1-800-772-8888. It helps when you remember to tell us where you hear Insight for Living. And when you give, be sure to request the 6 CD package, Wisdom for Home and Work, Listener Favorites, Volume 2. If you're listening in the United States, give us a phone call at 1-800-772-8888. Or online, go to insight.org. It's possible you're curious to learn more about what it means to follow Christ. Well, Chuck Swindoll wrote a booklet called How Can I Begin the Christian Life? And if you've never contacted Insight for Living, we'd like to send you a free copy. Just go online to insight.org/begin. If it's more biblical wisdom on rearing children that you need, let me point you to a dedicated webpage for moms and dads where you'll find helpful articles, resources, links, and more. Go to insight.org/parenting. I'm Dave Spiker, inviting you back Thursday when Chuck Swindoll offers suggestions for parenting grown-up kids on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Shaping the Will with Wisdom, was copyrighted in 2012, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2013 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.